Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. Welcome back to Christmas on the Cannon. My name is Rich Larson.
Oh, you're pointing to me. I'm Corey Butler.
That's Corey Butler over there. And we'll be with you for the next couple hours for our final edition of Christmas on the Cannon for 2021.
We made it. You know, I realized.
What?
Have we said the show name at all on any of the previous shows this year?
Mm-hmm.
Have we? Okay.
I've tried to.
At least. I mean, it doesn't really matter. People are going to listen or not listen either.
Right, right.
Ooh, this is the Christmas on the Cannon show. Ooh. I was going to change the dial, but right. Now I will not.
I like to listen to Christmas on the Cannon. They have a particularly fine brand of Christmas show music.
Very well done.
Thank you.
That could be our promo for next year in that exact voice. It's right up there with your Dracula voice.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe you made me do that. Anyway, that was...
I hate you. Get out of here.
That was Darlene Love. Supported by... actually, hard to say supported by Phil Spector, but...
For those 3 minutes, she was supported by
right,
Phil Spector.
The only time Phil Spector ever supported anybody. But that was Darlene Love doing Christmas Baby Please Come Home, the song for which I think she's probably most famous, although Darlene Love is one of the great underrated figures in rock and roll history. I mean, she was a backup singer in the early 60s and wound up doing a lot of lead vocals on a lot of different things. She's the lead vocals on "To Do Run Run" for the I want to say that's the
Ronettes.
The Shirelles.
Shirelles.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And I think she did "Leader of the Pack" too.
Oh.
Anyway, but that came off of, you know, I Phil Spector passed away in January, and my partner,
God not bless his soul,
right. My partner Dan Moyer, with whom I do a show called The Weekly List, he and I did a show the week Phil Spector passed away. We did a show about Phil Spector, and the whole point of the show was to talk about separating art from artist, because there is some really, really, really great music produced by Phil Spector. Phil Spector was one of the most despicable and vile human beings. I mean, he's sort of the Ty Cobb of music. You know, I mean, it's a guy you just hold your nose and say, yeah, he was really good. But the music was really good. That was off of a Christmas album that he produced and put his name on. And it's one of the best Christmas albums ever. That's maybe the fifth one in my top five that we were talking about last week.
And what were the other four? Just for those who didn't tune in last week.
Well, you got your very special Christmas Volume 1.
Very important distinction.
Volume 1, because the rest of them aren't all that great. And you got your Charlie Brown Christmas and George Winston's December album and Nat King Cole's Christmas album. Mm-hmm. And probably Phil Spector Wishes You a Merry Christmas.
I think those are all fair.
Opinions. I've probably got 17 Christmas albums in my top five, but those are the ones that you know come off the top.
Well, I think through the first two shows this year, I was like, "Oh, this is one of my favorite songs," or "This is an all-timer for me." and I realized 7 songs in, I'm like, "Well, it's one of those old things where if everything's a priority, nothing's
right,
a priority.
Right.
If everything's a favorite, do you really have a favorite?" So it's hard. I mean, I think it's good that with music in general, but even specifically to Christmas music, that there are so many songs or albums that jump out to you.
Yep.
I mean, that means clearly there's a lot of people who try.
Yes.
And there's a lot of failure.
Yes.
But enough have broken through where it's like, oh, okay, that to me is a definitive Christmas song. And that's going to vary person to person,
it
obviously.
Is.
But there's enough out there that people have the luxury of selecting those pieces that says, I have to listen to this. Christmas on the Cannon is a great place to pick those up. That was a good segue, even I'm going to out myself. I meant to say Christmas for Cowboys.
Ha! Huh.
As a song, you were talking about Christmas morning. That's your song. You
start
kind of ease into the day kind of thing. And obviously, it's got more emotional attachment to it for you.
Well,
not to bring that back up.
Well, don't start that all again.
But we have these moments, and these songs play a role in that. So I just love that there are enough of them out there over, arguably 100 plus years. But we'll talk more modern than the last 60 years.
60,
we'll
70.
70s. Yeah, 70 years is probably a good number.
Yeah, I think
number.
That's... We reach back further than that from time to time, but
yeah, but I'm talking about when Christmas became a genre.
Right. Well, we're going to wrap up the whole series with one that came out in the 30s, I think.
Oh, yeah, originally, yeah.
Yeah.
So real quick on Christmas. I mean, this is a regular of our show at this point. Third time we've played this.
Yeah, and I think we'll that'll be one of the staples. I think. Yeah.
Well, it's one of the ones we agree on for that has to
exactly.
be on the show every year.
Exactly. Yep.
So released in 1963. Obviously, it's been covered by a lot of different people, right. But this is always going to be the best version. I've said this before. I'll say it again because I think it's kind of cool. David Letterman obviously
yep.
loved this song
yep.
and had Darlene Love on his show. You know, he had two different shows over this time span between 1986 and 2014 every year, with the exception of 2007. And do you remember why?
Which was when he had his heart attack?
No. Writer's strike was
Writer's strike. Yeah. We had the same exact conversation a year ago.
I'm sure we did. Yeah. Also, 2014, it's hard to believe it's been that long since Letterman's been gone from Late Show.
Has he been gone since 2014?
Yeah. Well, I mean, technically it could have been 2015 and it just didn't make it to the Christmas, which obviously would be the end of the year.
But still, I mean, it doesn't feel like 6 years that Letterman's been off the air. I don't, you know.
I think she was on there through the very last.
I believe that. Yeah. I totally believe that. That David Letterman's late night show. Late Night with David Letterman on NBC and in CBS. Like, I feel like I developed my entire sense of humor from watching that show. David Letterman is so, I mean, it made such an impact on my life.
I think that would be a fair approach by many people your age and probably a little bit older.
Yeah.
And younger, I guess, for that matter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's who I gravitated toward once I was old enough to have an understanding
of late
night.
You made it for the tail end. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was old enough that Conan, when he was on late, there were bits and pieces because I was the right age where that captured me, but I prefer acerbic, dry wit mm-hmm. above all. I mean, I like physical comedy. I like laughing. What am I trying to say? Physical comedy and kind of goofy comedy.
Slapstick.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to reach for.
Yeah.
You know, Jim Carrey style type stuff.
But yeah.
I always appreciate a good use of words and pacing overall.
Right. I just, you know, the offbeat humor. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know why this sticks with me, right? But when Twitter had just first become a thing, right? Letterman was going to do his first tweet on the air, okay? And he had one of his interns, I don't think of the one he'd been sleeping with at that point, but one of his interns bring him a laptop out to the desk, and he just like, hey, bring that thing in here. And they set it down, they set it up for him, and he just looked at the audience and said, this is my Twitter device. And it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. And it's because of the delivery and the way you spent, you know, 2 minutes setting the thing up and it just, I love that.
There's a connection, but this is a tangent. Have you watched Between Two Ferns ever?
I have, Zach Galifianakis.
So like the show itself, and they've done a movie now, is funny enough. But occasionally on YouTube, I'll get a recommendation to go watch the outtakes.
Yeah.
Which to me are like 10 times funnier.
Is that right?
Because the actors are breaking. You know, it's obviously set up or whatever.
Right.
Letterman is on there. And they did one episode with Letterman. And some of the jokes, he just kills Letterman. Like, you know, I can't remember exactly, but he's like, you know, it's 7 o'clock. I'll say this. Like, so we'd like to welcome Meth Santa Claus or something like that. And Letterman, because Letterman's got the big bushy beard
now.
I think that was one of the lines. But anyway, it's you should go find the outtakes from.
You know what?
It's like 7 minutes long.
You
it's
know
brilliant.
What bugs me about Zach Galifianakis. He and I are almost exactly the same age. Like we were born within a couple of weeks of each other, mm-hmm. and Zach Galifianakis is that guy, and I'm this guy. I mean, it just like
well,
like
I'm gonna take that insult personally.
You've developed that kind of talent in the same amount of time I've had to develop talent. And you've lapped me about 7 times. Zach.
Well, I don't know if this will make you feel better, but there's hundreds of millions of people just like you. There are very few people like Zach in terms of
that. Doesn't make me feel
having
any
that ability, but also getting to that level.
Yeah, it doesn't make me feel any better at all.
I know. It's a numbers game.
Also, by the time John Lennon was my age, he'd been dead for 12 years.
Well,
think about that
for a
second.
Which means he didn't make it to your age.
Well, yeah, but the point is, look at what he did I haven't done anything in 52 years. Look what he did in 40.
Yeah. We could go into a deep philosophical question or conversation here, but comparing yourself to anyone who's famous is always a bad start.
I don't buy that.
I do.
I don't buy that.
I do.
Anyway.
Also, John Lennon is who you're comparing yourself to?
I believe in high
standards. That's a pretty high.
I believe in high standards.
I mean, maybe Jack Lennon, who lives down the street, might be a good place to start. Not Jack Lemmon, but Jack Lennon.
Right, right, right.
Who I just
met. Jack Lemmon, man, that's another high standard right there.
Walter Matthau. You could be the Walter Matthau to my Jack Lemmon.
You know what? I would love that. Anyone out there, Corey and I are ready to do your version of your production of The Odd Couple.
How about we just be the grumpiest old men?
I'm well. We could be there.
We could round out the trilogy.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Real quick, yeah. Darlene, are you familiar with The Christmas Chronicles on Netflix?
No.
Netflix has had a run the last 4 or 5 years of making their own Christmas movies.
There was the one where Kurt Russell played Santa Claus.
That's the Christmas Chronicles. Okay. Yep. So okay. They had a sequel that came out 2 years ago, last year, and Goldie Hawn is Mrs. Claus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the first one was really nice movie, I thought, especially at that time for Netflix, which mm-hmm. hadn't really delved into like good quality movies yet. Mm-hmm. They were still primarily television or what would be considered television length. And they've developed a lot of properties the last 4 years. I would say most are misses and not many hits. And sure. Christmas Chronicles, I thought was good. Anyway, point is, I finally watched the second one recently with my son. I didn't want to have him watch the first one because the first one is really about questioning the existence of mm-hmm. Santa.
Yeah.
And he's at that age where I don't even want to enter that thought into his mind. So
there's that whole thing where Santa's in jail and they're like, no, I'm Santa Claus. Whatever.
And the whole, you need belief to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's a really nice movie. Second one, not as good for many reasons. But Darlene Love is in it.
Really?
She has a cameo and she's like an airport, desk kiosk worker gives the bad news that the flights are all canceled and Kurt Russell's Santa's there, and anyway he uses some Santa magic, Christmas magic, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. and then Darlene starts singing and then he sings with her, so it's a little song and dance thing that inspires the Christmas spirit. And I hadn't seen her in years, obviously, but as soon as I saw her, I was looking at her, I'm like, is that Darlene Love?
Yeah.
I'm like, if it is, I'm guessing there's a singing moment coming up, and then sure enough.
Yeah,
so I went and verified it, and of course it's her. So
Darlene Love, a lot of people aren't going to get this, but because what's the series of movies? Danny Glover and Mel Gibson.
Lethal Weapon.
The Lethal Weapon movies are many years ago now, but Darlene Love was Danny Glover's wife in those movies and never sang a note in any of those movies.
Well, good for her.
Yeah. Anyway.
Expanding those wings.
Indeed.
Being much more talented than either of us.
That was actually kind of a low point in her career. She was just kind of looking for work.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem with celebrity and fame is staying relevant.
Exactly. So anyway, Darlene Love, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We love her. Moving on.
Haiku Hour.
Oh, hey.
Whatever you want to call it.
Time now for Corey Butler's Christmas Haiku.
Maybe by next year we'll have this in rhythm. No. Well, next year you're going to be writing all these. So.
No. I do this enough. I like that someone else is doing this.
I'm coming out hot. This will be controversial, but I'm okay. I'm willing to put the stick in the ground on this one.
I love it. Plant your
whatever the cliche is on this.
Plant
one.
Your candy cane.
There you go. Oh, I like that. Mm. Your elf on the shelf has no place in this world. Please stop for our sake. Oh,
I'm down. That's great.
Yeah,
I'm
never be a fan for many reasons. I, for one, I mean, as much as I love Santa, I don't like using, I gotta be careful how I word this, using stories and figures to motivate children to behave well.
Yeah.
So in our house, we celebrate Santa, and Santa does bring a gift.
Yeah.
It's never the best gift, though.
Okay. Oh, really?
No.
Nice.
It's a gift they requested, my children request.
Yeah.
But Santa's not getting credit for the best gift.
Okay.
The hell he is in my house.
Santa always brought me the home runs. Always.
Well, that's the whole point, right?
Yeah.
But then that's the whole, I have to be a good boy or girl to get this gift. And, you may see this in other places in the world and other philosophies. And Elf on the Shelf plays right into that.
Yeah,
except
it
for it's 30 days of stress for the kids, for the parents that have to move.
Oh,
if there's any kids listening right now, you might want to cover their ears. but then it's just, it gets bastardized. I guess if you want to say the original intent was sweet, fine. but there's movies now, books, and it just becomes its own thing.
It's a whole thing. It's an industry.
As we've talked now for 4 weeks now about Christmas, it means a lot of different things to different people, and it's hard to embrace and enjoy it in whatever you want to consider the most authentic way without also embracing some of the, you know, marketing and BS that comes with it.
Yeah.
Some of the music we probably listened to in the show was...
No question.
We talked about Neil Diamond, right?
Yes,
last
we did.
Week.
Yeah.
I could do without Elf on the Shelf, though.
Yeah.
It's creepy. And I was listening to... sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
The reason why this came to mind is because I went up to my office this... Well, recently, I guess, depending on when this airs. And I don't do that very often these days for a few reasons. But I just... You know, I flipped through the radio station, try to support different stations. And anyway, I came across KS95. And I just happened to catch when they were asking the question of, like, are you a bad parent if you don't participate in Elf on the Shelf? And someone had posted that question on their Facebook or whatever. And the first parent calls in, a man, and he says, yeah, you're awful if you don't, because you're killing the dream for your kid and all the other families participate. And if you don't do it, you're awful. I'm like, wow, this guy is something
else.
Wow. Strong thought, right?
Wow.
And then the second person, the mother, calls and says basically the opposite. Says it's unfair. And her take was more about the parent stress. Like, the kids aren't going to remember. They're not going to care. And maybe they get boo-hooed for a year when they realize all their friends are doing it. But it was more about undue stress on parents and having to, you know, take care of the process and all that stuff. And I just oppose the idea of using figures and ideas to get your kids to do what you want. Just have real honest conversations with them and model good behavior and grow them to be good human beings without scaring them into other things. Again, treading lightly here.
I buy into that altogether, and I think you're 100% right. But I take it a step further in that I do not approve of even the imagery, because my wife is incredibly... I'm not Norwegian at all, but my wife is incredibly Norwegian.
And incredible too.
Well, no question.
Without
no question, but in our house we have this thing called a NIS that's just kind of hanging out in the living room, and it is this grotesque little goblin thing that, like, and my mom had one too growing up. It's a scary little... It's a doll, right? Oh well, at least, you know, some of us think it's a doll. It might actually, you know. But you put it in a weird place in the house. So you put it on a shelf or like a, you know, or you can hang it from like a somewhere in the ceiling or whatever, and it's there to scare away all the bad juju for Christmas.
Sure, yeah,
right.
Very traditional.
But what it does is it scares the living crap out of me and my daughters. And
well, maybe it's working.
Because me and my daughters are bad juju.
I'm not saying that. I'm just
bringing
up the idea. How would you ever know it wasn't working, you know?
Well, because no bad juju has happened at Christmas
for
quite some time. That's true.
You can't measure something that doesn't happen.
There's been some god-awful juju but at times, but not
isn't
for...
juju
not
a
for
candy, that. Too?
Juju bees.
Yeah. I was laughing when you brought the doll because you were talking, oh, maybe it's... I don't know, you didn't say possessed, I don't think, but something...
But that's what it feels like, yes.
It made me think of the Chucky doll, and I was trying to think of the character's name that the human was before it became the doll. It was Charles Ray something.
I have no idea. I've never seen any of those movies.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
So, like,
give me the quick origin of Chucky.
Bad guy's soul gets put into doll.
Oh, okay. That's it.
And then doll becomes bad guy.
Okay.
And goes and does things.
Psychotic.
Yeah. I mean, there's some dark magic involved, obviously, or something weird that allowed for his soul to transfer to a...
Interesting.
Good buddy or whatever the doll is called. But when I was searching my mind for the name of the character's name, which is Charles Ray something, had to have three names for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
The name that came to mind was Charles Nelson Riley. So then I was thinking about you having a doll in your house possessed by the soul of Charles Nelson Riley.
Giving me pithy answers for match game.
And he would be fabulous.
Yes, he would.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh,
I just did pull down my Charles Nelson. I was not expecting to do that today. Let's talk about Frank Sinatra.
Let's do that. Do you think he liked Charles Nelson Riley?
I don't think he knew who Charles
they
Nelson
probably didn't
cross was. I'll bet you he did know who Charles Nelson was, and I'll bet you he found Charles Nelson Riley to be entertaining and tolerable.
In Mr. Nelson Riley's, I'm going to go with Nelson Riley,
sure,
defense, I'm sure it's just Riley.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone knows him from doing the game show circuit, yep. but he was a very talented and appreciated actor mm-hmm. and singer, mm-hmm. big Broadway guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, that was a time where, obviously pre-internet, that unless you were in the Broadway right. crowd as a right. fan, you just didn't probably pay much mind were. To it.
Yeah.
Different now, obviously. So, totally you know, different. Had yeah. he been born 40 years later or whatever, he'd yeah. probably be a huge star. In the yeah. like, I mean, I'm not trying to be... I'm not exaggerating this, like a Lin-Manuel Miranda type thing.
That's the name that everybody knows from Broadway. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
and for good reason.
Right.
I mean, so Broadway stars back then, I mean, it was a smaller circle.
Yes.
And they did the game show circuit.
Yes. Yeah.
So, and it, I mean, you know. But incredibly talented man. So yeah, he probably did cross paths with
probably.
Frank here
probably.
And there, but yeah. they're at different levels.
Charles Nelson Reilly, though, was sort of also a poor man's Paul Lynn. Mm. Right, mm. you know, and Paul Lynn was absolutely hilarious too. I wondered. No, I never saw Paul Lynn, and because Paul Lynn was always Hollywood Squares, he was always Center Square in Hollywood Squares.
Of course, it had to be Center Square.
Charles Nelson Reilly had that second seat of honor on Match Game.
He was so. Next to Brett.
Brett Summers.
Yeah,
yeah, and Soupy was Soupy ever and Fanny Flagg.
Fanny was on there all the time.
Fanny, yeah.
Betty was always and Betty White and Richard Dawson. Excuse me,
Richard Dawson. Oh, that's
we're always
right.
on the bottom.
That's right. Richard Dawson was before he before Family
Nipsey
Feud.
Russell.
God, Nipsey was funny.
I used to love
Nipsey
watch
was
a lot
so
of Match
funny.
Game.
Yeah. Wow. We have gone. We are way off the rails here. Frank Sinatra did a whole lot of great Christmas music. And he has this is from his most classic Christmas album, which is called Frank Sinatra Wishes You a Merry Christmas, as I believe. I don't remember.
Good job. This is why you do the interviews. You yeah. can pull that. Even yeah. if you don't know if it's right, you sound like you're probably
right.
sure.
Exactly.
About it.
Exactly.
I was going to say Frank Does Christmas.
Yeah, that might be it too. In fact, I'm pretty sure there's both. So, but this is tell me about Mistletoe and Holly. You got anything on this?
Not really. I've got a couple thoughts.
Okay.
No real research. It's an older song that obviously he mm-hmm. covered, but I just imagine him reading this the first time. He probably had heard it growing up, I'm guessing, but like, oh, by gosh, by golly.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. Christmas songs have plenty of silly openings, but yes. just imagining Frank Sinatra, I mean, you can hear it clearly, right. but just him thinking about the first time, I'm going to say what?
Well, I mean, it's pretty much almost the same. It feels like the same opening lines from Oklahoma, which was, speaking of Broadway, it was a huge hit right around then, too. So maybe, you know.
But Frank Sinatra wasn't doing Oklahoma.
Frank Sinatra would not have gone within 50 feet of Oklahoma.
So this just seems like the most egregious. It just seems so out there and silly. And I like silly. It just it's the juxtaposition of Frank Sinatra, of all people, doing it. If this had been Gene Autry or even Burl Ives, sure. I'd be like, all right, makes sense. And I'm sure they all did this song.
Right.
I just like to think of Frank reading his first time with a bottle of scotch.
Yeah.
All right. What do we got next for me to sing? Oh, by gosh, by golly.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever. All right.
Anyway,
so,
those
anyway,
are my thoughts.
Here's the chairman with Mistletoe and Holly on 95.1 KYMN, the one.
Oh, by gosh, by golly, it's time for mistletoe and holly. Tasty pheasants, Christmas presents, countrysides covered with snow. Oh, by gosh, by jingle, it's time for carols and Kris Kringle. Overeating, merry greeting from relatives you don't know. Then comes that big night, giving the tree the trim. You'll hear voices by starlight singing a Yuletide hymn. Oh, by gosh, by golly, it's time for mistletoe and holly. Fancy ties and granny's pies and folks stealing a kiss or two as they whisper Merry Christmas to you. Then comes that big night, giving the tree the trim. You'll hear voices by starlight singing a Yuletide hymn. Oh, by gosh, by golly, it's time for mistletoe and holly. Fancy ties and granny's pies and folks stealing a kiss or two as they whisper Merry Christmas to you. Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in the winter wonderland. Gone away, here's the bluebird. Here to stay, here's a new bird. He sings a love song. Go along, walking in the winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman and pretend that he's Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man. But you can do the job if you're down. When it snows, ain't it thrilling? Your nose get a little chilling. We'll frolic and play the Eskimo way. Walking in the winter wonderland.
I think we probably talked about this last year when we played that song. I don't know how totally PC that version of Winter Wonderland is, but I really do love Ray's delivery of Winter Wonderland. Let's frolic and play the indigenous American way. How's that?
I am far from a scholar to talk about this, but yeah. I've looked into such matters about word choice on
sure.
those descriptors.
Yeah.
And Eskimo is not out and out unacceptable these days.
It's not.
Just you have to be identifying the correct crowd of people.
Okay.
And again, I can't speak to this.
Nope.
So I don't know if I want to even go further.
Nope.
But indigenous means something different and to different people, and Native American means something mm-hmm. different. So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
So Eskimo, especially this time of year, comes up a lot.
Right.
And I was like, ooh, can't say it. I'm like, well, I think you can based on what I
if you're,
have
if
read
you're,
into.
Okay. But if you're hitting the right spot.
But it's like misidentifying people. And,
yeah.
And none of us are probably smart enough to ever use it correctly. So it's probably best to just avoid using it.
Right.
One of those cases. Right. So anyway, it's in this song, and it's a lovely song.
Yes, Ray's awfully soulful. And I tell this story every year. When Corey and I first started talking about doing this show, what feels now like 1973.
That's just today, right?
Right. I said, you know, Ray Charles has does a version of Winter Wonderland that I can't find anywhere. And I've looked high and low, and they use a little snippet of it in When Harry Met Sally. And that's the only reason I even know about it. And I've never, and Corey went, huh? And he picked up his phone and he typed in a couple of things and went, oh yeah, here it is, yeah, right there on YouTube. So yeah.
We had a similar case of that today, didn't we? We don't need to call that out, but
did we?
Not with Finding Music, but finding a solution.
Oh yeah,
for
yeah,
a
yeah, yeah. We did. Yeah, yeah.
I thought I'd let the two local geniuses work for a while. Then
I don't lump me in with this, man. I just don't know nothing about nothing.
No. So, I was like, okay, I'm just gonna try something. Like, hey, this might work.
And
like,
okay. Sure enough, there it was.
God bless the internet.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you got anything else on Winter Wonderland, or do you want to do
some of this repeat? Just from the 50s originally.
Yeah,
I mean, sounds about right.
Right.
I mean, Ray's voice changed over time a little bit. It still was Ray.
Yeah.
I won't go through the my setup to the.
Have we actually said that was Ray Charles? Yeah, we have. Okay,
Brother Ray.
Brother Ray.
Last year, I made a joke about the meow scene from When Harry Met Sally as a setup to, hey, do you know how many kids he has with how many women? Ray Charles, that is.
Yeah.
12 kids
with
10 women.
Mm-hmm.
So. I do appreciate when we talked about this earlier, you telling me about the handshake wrist situation, which we can't and won't duplicate.
Go see watch the movie.
What was it called? Wrist Method?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
It's in the movie?
Yeah, it is.
It's been years since I've seen it. I don't recall.
Yeah, okay. It's in the movie.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
One new note I had found today when I was researching early this morning. This is on the CD Spirit of Christmas, which is $50 to purchase. So if
is
you want to
right?
actually own this song,
wow!
I think that may be the only published way to get it.
Interesting. So yeah,
but we
just bootlegged it off
of
YouTube.
It's the era of the internet. You can find other ways.
Right, exactly. So,
but if you actually want to own
interesting
this, $50.
Rob Reiner did us all a disservice by not putting this on the When Harry Met Sally soundtrack.
But it is interesting, like how soundtracks are put together, like the official soundtrack versus.
Mm-hmm.
Like the songs in the movie. Like I was trying to think, what was it? Like Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Phenomenal soundtrack.
Great.
But they have like two different soundtracks, technically, I believe, because there's songs that are used in the movie that aren't on the album. I think there's two albums, I guess, to take away.
Well, there's I've got, like, the soundtrack I had was a double album.
So maybe they had two different. Yeah. But I feel like sometimes there's movies that have like the music in the songs that.
Yep.
The music in
right.
the movie
like,
that don't make the album because the official is like only the original stuff.
Right. No. Or there were songs that were licensed for the movie that didn't make the final cut.
Yeah.
But they're on the soundtrack. Because we licensed it. We may as well put it on the soundtrack album. So
yep. Well, that's what I've got for that.
Okay. All right.
Haiku.
Time now for Corey's haiku.
We don't always need to set up, but I appreciate it. Makes it feel more important than it is. Christmas has its sounds. Clarence been practicing hard. Need more saxophone.
Bruce and the E Street Band are not on the show this year.
No.
Yeah, it makes me sad. But tomorrow night, if you tune into the weekly list for our annual Christmas show, pretty good chance you'll hear a little of the Boss tomorrow night.
I am of the mind that saxophone to me is like the cilantro of the music scene.
Yeah.
It makes everything better.
Yeah, it
you just gotta sprinkle a little bit in there and it just amps it up,
and you hit the gold standard there with rock. When it comes to rock and roll saxophone, no one ever did better than Clarence Clemons, the big man.
Yes,
You know, Corey, people who have been coming up to me stopping me on the street, going, Rich, I'm really enjoying this year's Christmas on the Cannon series with you and Corey. You guys are doing a great job,
but.
Where is I'm blanking.
hang on.
It'll come to me. Nope. Blanking. Gosh darn it. This is too bad because I had this whole thing set up.
Rayconniff.
Where are the Rayconniff singers?
Well, Rich, the time has arrived. We now have Ray Conniff and the Ray Conniff Sanders.
Here we go.
So, I mean, I had to hold back this year a little bit because there are so many choices.
You showed real restraint this year with Ray Conniff.
Well, I told you, and I told our listeners on show one and two, and maybe not three because I forgot, but we made a real pledge this year to bring a lot of new stuff.
Yeah.
Mostly new songs if we could, but there are some songs we can't turn away from, so we found new versions of them.
I think we probably got a full show's worth of songs that we've played year after year, like over the course of
25%.
Isn't too bad.
Because I think honestly we could just run the same four shows every year and be good, right?
That's not a terrible idea.
we're set for next year already. But to an earlier comment, there's just so much good Christmas music
out there.
I think even among all the varied opinions and taste, I think you can find agreement among many people of like a certain set of songs that like pleases the crowd.
Right.
So we want to dabble with those for sure.
Yes.
But you can also get all those songs many different places. So we try to bring some new stuff.
Yes.
I would contend that Ray Conniff, long dead, and popular 50 years ago is still probably new stuff to some people.
And for good reason.
No, come on. Don't be awful. Although, if you listen to any major Twin Cities holiday stations, Ray Conniff is on there.
Is that right?
And quite a bit.
Is Ray Conniff on Cool 108?
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. And I listen to, you know, various Amazon playlists and Spotify from here and there, and he makes those too. So I think you're really underselling the vast reach of Mr. Conniff.
Well, I do feel like, and this is going to date me a little bit. I mean, this song especially. I was listening to this when I was recording it yesterday, and it just would have made the perfect Dayton's ad.
It probably was.
It probably was. Yeah. The perfect Dayton's commercial.
So this is Ring Christmas Bells. His take on Carol of the Bells, one of my more favorite hymns or carols or whatever the correct term. I think they're interchangeable.
I don't believe that's true. I don't think hymn and a carol are the same thing.
I mean, I think hymn's meant to be spoken, but I think it can be sung as well.
Well, a hymn is far more. Carols can be a little more secular.
Okay.
Then a hymn is a song of God.
Very rooted.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so Carol of the Bells though is that more?
That's a carol. It's a carol. I mean, it doesn't. A carol doesn't have to be secular, or it doesn't But obviously, a carol doesn't have to be secular. But like a carol doesn't have to be absolutely rooted in God either. A hymn does. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I like to learn. So.
Actually, I'm talking out of.
Yeah, it sounds good though.
Exactly.
So anyway, this. I mean, is it Christmas? Yeah, they do Christmas Bride, which I know you didn't enjoy, but. It's one of those pleasant songs, kind of like we were talking about some Beatles songs earlier. Mm-hmm. Same thing where like it's good once in a while, and if you don't listen to it too intently, it's better. But Christmas Bride, which is not the song we have today. We have Ring Christmas Bells. So just for those of you who don't remember from prior shows and for Rich's benefit, the Ray Conniff singers are made up of 13 men and 12 women. Very important numbers, I'm sure.
Got to have more men than women, always. Right, at least 1950, whatever you did.
So this was released in 1962. We Wish You a Merry Christmas album. So I don't know. I like this version. I like the song, the original song. So this is our ability to bring it to you with just a little spin. So, and
you
this
want to
is
call
Rich's
it that?
Favorite.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I look forward to this every year. You know, Thanksgiving comes around. I think, ooh, I'm going to hear the Ray Conniff singers. From 1962, this is Ring Christmas Bells by Cory Butler, 95.1 KYMN.
Just jumped in.
Santa Claus. Go straight to the ghetto. Hitch up your reindeer. Go straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus. Go straight to the ghetto. Fill every stocking you find. The kids are gonna love you so. Leave a toy for Johnny. Leave a doll for Mary. Leave something fruity for Donnie. And don't forget about Gary. Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto. Tell him James Brown sent you. Go straight to the ghetto. You know that I know what you will see, 'cause that was once me. Hit it, hit it. You see mothers and soul brothers. Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus, oh Lord, go straight to the ghetto. Fill every stocking you find. The kids are gonna love you so. Fill every stocking you find. They know that they need you so. I'm begging you, Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto. If anyone wanna know, tell them Hank Ballard told so. Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto. Never thought I'd realize I'd be singing a song with water in my eyes. Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto. Don't leave nothing for me. I've had my chance, you see. Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus, the soul brother needs so. Santa Claus.
That was James Brown. This is Corey Butler.
So the debate continued about hymns versus carols versus songs. Actually, we broaden the description on this, and according to buildfaith.org, which I know is a very reliable source that I've never visited before, they say Christmas songs. Popular Christmas songs are specifically about Christmas, but are typically not overtly religious and therefore do not qualify as Christmas carols, but rather Christmas songs. I feel like that's an important distinction. That wasn't our original debate,
right,
but important to bring in for context. Christmas hymns. A hymn is a type of song, usually religious, specifically written for the purpose of praise, adoration, or prayer, and in the Christian tradition, typically addressed to God. Christmas carols. A Christmas carol is a song in which a religious topic is treated in a style that is familiar or festive. Christmas carols are traditional without a specific religious context. A Christmas carol has lyrics about Christmas themes or the winter season, which are traditionally sung in the period before Christmas.
All right.
There you have it.
Okay. So ending the minutes-long debate.
Yes.
All right.
Are we any clearer? I'm not sure that I am.
I don't think I was that far off in what I was saying. It's hard to,
It's like
it's a little bit of splitting hairs, but
how about we put it this way? In the vein of This Is Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
Christmas carols would be turning the knob up to 9.
Yeah.
Christmas hymns would be turning up 11. To 11.
There it is.
Is that 11. Fair?
Yes, that all works right. Perfectly. How do you feel about Oh, wait, no, I'm not done yet. Because how do you feel about James Brown?
I am a fan of the music.
Yeah, yeah. There's another guy that wasn't always the greatest human being. Although he leaves a legacy of he was a pretty good civil rights guy.
Sure.
And that's some important stuff there. He also, had some terrible faults. And he spent some time in prison just before he died.
Humans are complicated.
Yes, we are. We all
both
are.
In ourselves and how we perceive others.
James Brown was an amazing human being compared to, you know, Phil Spector, so, or Ty Cobb, so,
you know, or Ike Turner,
or Ike Turner. Yeah,
it seems like the list could go on and on.
Anyway,
yeah.
All right, time now for Corey Butler's Christmas Haiku.
Well, I was going to share it real quick.
Oh, okay.
See, we'll get the flow for next year.
Yeah.
This is from the 1968 album, the song Santa Claus. And did you even say the title? Maybe you did when we came out.
That was James Brown with Santa Claus Goes Straight to the Ghetto.
I mean, it's pretty obvious if you listen to the song. Right. But maybe you just tuned in right now. We just played that song.
Yeah.
From his 1968 album, A Soulful Christmas. Sounds apropos.
Yeah, sounds right.
Also, again, released in 1968. It was a second Christmas album, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't realize. So, okay.
We got some digging to do.
Yeah, we totally do.
Yeah, see if there's any other place Santa visited on these albums.
Yeah.
I thought this was interesting. Like, again, I was, just by of when I was born, James Brown was, I don't know, a relic is really rude, but like a person from the past. And there were certain hits that were big.
Right.
But he didn't have the same influence over me as many other musicians who came before my birth did.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So like I remember him like the Rocky era
living in America.
So that's like the first image that comes to mind. So like I appreciate this song because it brought me back a little bit before that and gives me an idea of why people really appreciate him. It's not like I haven't heard of any James Brown songs, but the reason I bring this all up is this was released in 1968, and this is a question for you. Of his overall studio album releases, and we just talked about this a little bit with Lightnin' Hopkins.
Lightnin' Hopkins.
What overall, and again, studio album, I'm using loosely because maybe it wasn't full albums, right?
Right.
What number release do you think this was? The Christmas album itself.
This came out in 68?
Yes.
7.
22. I mean, that's something, huh?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, they always said James Brown was the hardest working man in show business.
I guess they weren't lying.
Clearly. So.
All right, haiku time. Let me review this one quick.
Time now for Corey Butler's Christmas Haiku.
Oh, well, this ties in nicely to our conversation earlier as well as last week. And in general, all the shows we do for Christmas. There's not one vision. Celebrate what works for you. Others do the same.
Human light.
Yeah, well, any holiday.
Yes.
And here's the... It's funny that we're talking about this earlier about... Or last show, we're recording both today. About the importance of placement of commas.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that last line, others do the same, could be read a couple different ways. I have others, the comma after others.
Others do the same, so or, comma, others do the same.
Yeah, so I'm directing rather than saying this is what happens.
Right,
I'm saying you should be this.
Right.
So, you know, do what makes you happy.
Yes.
Let others be happy in their own ways.
Yes, exactly.
And quit trying to dictate how others should celebrate
things. Exactly right.
So, human light, Hanukkah, solstice, which we just celebrated yesterday.
Yeah, happy solstice to.
My running joke with solstice, starting in July usually, with certain people is, hey, only 16 more weeks till we start gaining sunlight back, stuff like that. So now we are officially gaining sunlight back. So,
yeah.
I mean, clearly seasons don't care about your location, but being in Minnesota, it's always weird to think, now is the time that we start getting sunlight back.
Right.
I mean, it takes months to get to this point, right? Or, winter starts now?
Right.
You know,
that's weird. That's a tough one for me. It's like, wait, today's the first day? Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, we might have had snow for 6 weeks at this point in certain years, right? It more so for me, it's on the back end. Like, I mean, winter, I guess, in Minnesota could feel like it's still mid-March. Like, obviously, we have snow that can last.
Winter in Minnesota can last 5 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But starting at the tail end of December is weird for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's rough. The daylight thing is a thing for me. I think it's for a lot of people. I mean, daylight savings time ends and suddenly it's dark at 4:30 and everyone kind of just starts to shut down a little bit. I just found out I'm not as steeped in my Christmas mythology as you are, but,
I pretend,
last week as you're listening to the show last week or a couple of weeks ago, maybe, was the Feast of St. Lucia, and which is a great Scandinavian tradition. St. Lucia is the, what is she the saint of? She's the saint of...
Light.
No, she's not.
It's not. Isn't it light?
No.
Lucy means light.
Oh, okay. Okay. But the thing is that they celebrate St. Lucia then because maybe that's when she was martyred, right around then. But it's a festival of light, and it used to happen right on the solstice.
Oh.
And the point is that if you celebrate St. Lucia with joy and vigor, right, you will store up enough light in your soul to make it through the dark months ahead. And in Scandinavian countries, that's like it's dark all the time this time of year. So
right, yeah. I mean, without going too deep into this, because I'll say something wrong and get corrected by one of our few listeners.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of these holidays that are more modern and traditional are based around solstice, Christmas.
Yep. Yep.
I mean. So, pagan holidays.
Yep, yep.
They all borrow from each other. I know I went on diatribe last year about this.
Yeah.
And it was a lot easier when I had text in front of me back on my thoughts.
I wouldn't call it a diatribe, but it was lessons with Corey.
Well, to reinforce the haiku I just had, it's just like, realize that your holiday is not, quote, the correct one.
Right.
And the way you celebrate is not, quote, the correct way.
It's not the only way to do it.
St. Lucia being moved is not a big deal.
Right.
Christmas Day... is not necessarily when Jesus was born. Hate to break it to you.
Didn't someone come out, like, wasn't there a papers on this? Jesus was probably born in like
March.
March. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I'm not a scholar of that stuff, so I'm not going to, come out too hard. But my point is, a lot of these dates were picked because of the solstice, because even before modern technology, they could determine things like when the sun was close and far and all those things, and when it got cold and warm,
right.
And how hemispheres work, because I think people forget about, on the climate point, people forget there's a southern hemisphere. So when it's cold here,
it's warm.
This is something that bothers me. Oh my God, it was colder in northern Minnesota today than it was in Antarctica. Yeah, it's summer in Antarctica,
yeah, exactly.
And it's still minus 30.
Right.
remind yourself of how hemispheres work. Anyway.
It's summer in Australia right now, man.
Yeah. So people can celebrate whatever they want. Just take it in your own way and let others have it their own way. But my point is, solstice is like the genesis for a lot of these holidays for various reasons. And some of them get moved around because guess what? It gets to be a busy time of year. So to your point, St. Lucia Day was moved up.
Yeah.
And that's why you have the Advent and you've got 5 weeks. Also, while we're on this soapbox,
let's go.
When do the 12 days of Christmas start?
I have no idea.
It's not December 13th. It's not December 1st for holiday shopping reasons. It's Christmas Day, and it runs through January 6th.
Okay.
Through the Epiphany. And you have St. Stephen's Day in there. You have all these days. The 12 days of Christmas start Christmas Day. They do not end on Christmas Day. So there you go.
So keep Christmas in your heart all year round.
Which it would be lovely if people embrace the spirit of Christmas instead of trying to enforce their own version of it on everyone else.
You know what? Maybe 2022 is an election year. Try to keep it especially in your heart this coming year, man.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And St. Lucy was a martyr. So.
Okay.
Brought food and aid to Christians hiding in the Roman catacombs.
We are almost an hour into the show and we have played five songs. So we got to roll.
Well, they're all 12 minute songs, right?
Yeah, that's true. Duke Ellington did a nice little jazzy play on Tchaikovsky. And
I'm glad you said it and I didn't have to.
This is you got anything else on this?
It makes me thirsty.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah, I love Duke Ellington. Sugar Rum Cherry, Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairies. On 95.1 KYMN, the one. Thank you.
Christmas time, it comes but once a year. Bells are ringing and the family's all here. All the children want to help decorate the tree. And there's lots of nice presents under there for you and me. Oh, Santa Claus is coming, it's a Jingle Bell Jamboree. Yeah, it's a Jingle Bell Jamboree. Mama's in the kitchen, Papa's in there too. Yeah, that's right. Well, howdy, Uncle Bud, howdy, howdy, how are you? Yeah, we gonna play some old records and a few CDs. Or you can go in the other room and see what's on TV. Oh, Santa Claus is coming. Yeah, Santa Claus is coming. It's the Jingle Bell Jamboree. It's all right if there's no stockings on the wall. 'Cause what matters most is peace on earth and goodwill to all. Well, everybody's got something that they believe. They say the more you give, the more you will receive. Well, don't worry if you can't give nothing at all. Well, it's the state of mind that matters most of all. Yeah, we'll all get together. I said, let's all get together for a Jingle Bell Jamboree. Yeah, it's a Jingle Bell Jamboree. Oh, it's a Jingle Bell Jamboree. Yeah, yeah. It's a Jingle Bell Jamboree. Yes, it is. Jingle Bell Jamboree. I'm dreaming of a Jingle Bell Jamboree. Oh, baby, you know a Jingle Bell Jamboree. Silent night, holy Jingle Bell Jamboree. Heard the Jingle Bell Jamboree.
My man, Kevin Moore, better known to most people as Keb Mo, the modern day blues man. That was Jingle Bell Jamboree. I love that song. I discovered that song on one of those just weird, like, Christmas time, like, compilation albums. And you know, probably 25 years ago, maybe. And I just loved it ever since. That's all I got.
Yeah, I don't really have much to add to that. You had it on the show 2 years ago, I think, and I loved it. I'm glad it's back. Hopefully people who hadn't heard it before now have heard it and enjoyed it and will listen to it in the future. I was trying to think. I was telling you before we came back on that I'd come across a fun fact about Keb a few weeks ago and forgot to write it down.
Yeah.
And I think maybe it's that he was either the writer or co-writer or contributing voice on a song, and that would have surprised me by who it was. Can't recall.
Yeah, nothing.
But now I'm looking through his bio and I see that he was on Prairie Home Companion. So at least there's a Minnesota town there.
Yeah, okay.
2008.
He would have been a great great guest on Prairie Home Companion. Would have fit right in.
He performed two songs with Bonnie Raitt.
Yeah, he's toured with Bonnie quite a bit, actually.
Okay. Well, that wasn't definitely not what I was thinking of, because that would trigger my mind. Yeah. Can't think of it, but
okay.
Fun song. Enjoy it.
Absolutely.
Good all voice. Right, good vibes.
Time now for Corey's Christmas haiku.
All right. This is kind of a play on the last song's title, what it made me think.
Okay.
Pop music concerts during this time of the year make no sense to me. So like all these like
KDWB
Holiday Ball or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
I'm too old to even remember what it's called.
I don't
Jingle Ball.
Jingle Ball. Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, I think is it the CW always air? Is it iHeart does like a Christmas thing that's on the CW or something? I hear the radio ads for it.
Yeah, okay.
Like all these like touring Christmas time collab, like,
or like
there's like five artists on it.
What about, or like what's the one Trans-Siberian Railroad thing? You know what this is?
Yeah.
Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
But that's like their thing they do. I'm talking about like, oh, KWB, we're going to, you know, this is probably 10 years ago because that's how old I am now. Like, hey, come to Jingle Ball. We got Justin Bieber,
right,
and Ariana Grande, and three other people you've never heard of, but they're going to be here and they're going to sing Jingle Bells.
Super fun. Well, you know, and if you're 14 years old, it sounds like a good time, you know? It
does nothing for me.
It's that, you know, you're too old for Rudolph, but you still want to celebrate Christmas, so.
But I don't even know if they sing Christmas songs at these concerts. That's the thing.
Yeah,
well, I feel like it's just their own music, but they call it the Jingle
I'm
Ball
sure they mix in a little Christmas stuff here and there.
Can I tell you, at least to my memory, and maybe I've shared this on this show before, in my memory at least, the first concert I attended, you know, as a child, well, I shouldn't say obviously because not every kid gets the opportunity. It was a Christmas concert.
Really?
At least that's how I remember it. It was the Oak Ridge Boys. And
Dolly?
Not quite.
Okay.
The Oak Ridge Boys and Alvin and Chipmunks.
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
This is
performing live.
I've never confirmed this, and I guess I could really quickly probably do that with the aid of the internet.
Yeah.
But I kind of don't want to because in my mind, the first concert experience was the Oak Ridge Boys and Alvin and Chipmunks the same venue, same promoted together.
We'll just roll with that.
I know. Well, I think it's hilarious. True. It's true in my head. And maybe I have a little Brian Williams syndrome going on here, but
you know, whatever.
If it all helicopters
starts,
everywhere.
If it all starts to run together, man.
Yeah.
You know,
why not? Just enjoy it.
Yeah, you know, it happens at these advancing ages.
Yes.
Okay, I don't have anything on this next song, which is a Pearl Jam Christmas song, which I barely knew anything about. Tell me all about Let Me Sleep, It's Christmas Time.
Well, what I can tell you is this was first released in 1991 as a vinyl single for members of Pearl Jam's fan club.
Oh, yeah.
So exclusive. It later appeared in 2003's compilation album, Lost Dogs. And this is a song that is probably open to interpretation by the lyrics. You know, there's mention of sleep.
Yep.
And what that may mean. Kind of in the same vein as Hamlet, perhaps.
Yeah, to die, to sleep, a chance to dream. Yeah.
So, kind of similar to what we talked about last week with Amanda Shire's songs and just kind of the authentic Christmas and how the authenticity means different things to different people.
Right, right.
That not every song has to be the happy song.
Exactly.
And trust us, in our 3 years of doing the show, they have not all been happy songs.
No.
So this is just kind of maybe in that vein, but again, open to interpretation.
Right. Well, you know, this is Eddie Vedder and Stone Gossard and Mike McCready and Jeff Ament and whoever was playing drums with them at that point. This is Pearl Jam with Let Me Sleep, It's Christmas Time on 95.1.
Flowered wind was where I knelt. Thought you burned not those for your sins. I'm so tired. Oh, how magic it seemed. Oh, please.
let me sleep, it's Christmas time.
Nora Jones. Nora Jones put out a Christmas album this year, and we've played two Nora Jones songs on the show this year, and neither of them are on the album that she put out this year. That was a Spotify exclusive. It's Not Christmas Till You Come Home.
She's into those exclusives.
She
I
is.
Believe last 2 weeks ago we did the Amazon Prime exclusive,
yes,
or Prime Music, whatever it's called these days.
Yeah, well, whatever. I mean, it's still great.
Well, I like Nora Jones. I'm glad that was on here. That's from her 2017 release, or I shouldn't say it was released in 2017.
Right.
Because was it just the song or was it an album exclusive for Spotify?
No, just the song. Just the song.
I can't imagine they do an album exclusive.
No.
That seems like too risky.
Yeah. That seems counterproductive, actually.
Yeah. But she's wonderful.
She is.
I don't think you could ever have too much Norah Jones.
No. You know her story, right?
Well, I'm sure she has lots of stories. Well, yeah, but I know
the origin of Norah Jones.
Her family ties.
Yes. Yeah. Her mom had a one night stand with Ravi Shankar.
Yeah.
In the late '60s, and Ravi, you know, moved on because he was on tour, and along came Norah Jones, and she got some pretty good DNA.
Late '70s.
Oh, you're right.
So, she has an older sister,
who is. Yes,
an artist also.
Yeah, and if you've ever, who actually was, grew up with Ravi Shankar,
yeah.
Was raised by Ravi. If you've ever seen, well, you probably haven't, there's the concert for George. After George Harrison passed away, a year later, they did a concert at Royal Albert Hall. And the first half is this Indian orchestral thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Norah Jones' sister is the one who directs it. It's pretty amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Complicated.
Well,
yeah. So
yes,
but I know Nora's just turned 40 recently. That's why.
Oh, and that's time. Well. So you know what? In my mind, everyone's 52 years old. So yeah,
can't imagine why. All right. Well, here's the
time now for Corey Butler's Christmas haiku.
Never ending, aren't they? Maybe these are too frequent.
I don't think so.
No. All right. Well, that's good. Audience of one. That's all that matters. Red lights and green lights, white, orange, don the tree, houses. But blue makes me sad.
Like zombies. Zombies make me sad. Blue makes you sad. Interesting. Blues, you know,
wait,
the blues.
Like the zombies?
No, just zombies and like zombies. Like one minute you're my buddy Corey and the next minute you want to eat my brain.
Oh, well, yeah, well, that's a different sad.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the vast array of Christmas.
So you are you are a colored lights guy as opposed to a white lights guy.
Well, no, I was listing all these lights colors that are fine. I'm just saying blue lights make me sad.
So you don't like the straight blue lights?
No, but they're mixed in. It's okay, but when I see these solid blue ones, I don't know if it's just
gives you the blues,
for lack of a better term. Yeah, I don't know. It there's a sadness about it. I think for me at least.
Interesting, but. One of the multiple Christmas trees in our house is nothing but blue lights.
And how does it make you feel? Have you ever thought about it?
It's soothing.
It's soothing to you.
Yes.
It may depend on the strength of light and the tone of the blue.
Yeah.
But I feel like when it's really dark outside and you see a house covered with blue lights, it all says the same to me and it just makes me sad. And, you know, blue is supposed to be that calming color, right?
Yep.
But I don't know. Depresses me. So anyway, there you go.
All right. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Louis Prima.
A little Louis Prima.
I like Louis Prima.
I've got a lot about Louis because I feel like it's worth talking a little bit about Louis.
Let's go. Talk about Louis Prima.
I just basically stole this from Wikipedia. So
that's fine with me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not getting college credit for it. So
do yourself a favor. Go get some Louis Prima.
Yes, Mr. Aloisio. What will Santa Claus say when he finds everybody swinging? Is the song we're talking about here. So Louis Prima. It's funny enough you just said that. My second bullet is do yourself a favor. So I'm glad you're right on spot there. Louis, the King of Swing. So while I'm fascinated by him because I think we talked about this on... It was either the first show for Christmas on the Canon or maybe it was Halloween on the Canon. And it was about reinvention of artists and changing. It must have been Christmas, about how people can have decades-long careers, some because they're just so prolific that people are going to listen to them regardless, and others adapt their style to help with staying relevant.
Okay.
So Louis's got an interesting career. So while rooted in New Orleans jazz, swing music, and jump blues, Prima touched on various genres throughout his career. He formed a 7-piece New Orleans-style jazz band in the late 1920s, fronted a swing combo in the 1930s, and a big band group in the 1940s, helped to popularize jump blues in the late 1940s and early to mid-1950s, and performed frequently as a Vegas lounge act beginning in the 1950s.
Sure.
From the 1940s through the 1960s, his music further encompassed early R&B and rock and roll, boogie-woogie, and Italian folk music, such as the Tarantella. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Tarantella. That's Tarantella. Tarantella.
Okay, never heard of it. But that sounds better than the way I said it. Prima made prominent use of Italian music and language in his songs, blending elements of the Italian and Sicilian identity with jazz and swing music, at a time when ethnic musicians were often discouraged from openly stressing their ethnicity, Prima's conspicuous embrace of his Sicilian ethnicity opened the doors for other Italian-American and ethnic American musicians to display their ethnic roots. Man, that's a lot of ethnic. So, I mean...
Yeah, Louis was big on being Italian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, at that time, wasn't necessarily all that embraced, but I think it was changing favor in the 50s and 60s, because there's other prominent Italian-Americans.
Sure, absolutely.
Who were making it, but he opened up for others as well.
Right.
And then lastly, and you may know this, Prima is also known for providing the voice for the orangutan, King Louis.
King Louis, exactly.
1967 Disney film The Jungle.
One of the all-time classics.
Yes, so there you go.
You know, I've got a progression, I've told you this, I'm sure, of role models in my from my youth.
Perhaps.
It's Baloo the Bear, Han Solo, Spider-Man, and Billy Joel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there
I
it
love
is.
Baloo the Bear.
Me too.
Look for the... Well, I love that Disney reused that art for several iterations. And they were sometimes Baloo, but sometimes not.
Right.
Like he was Little John in Robin Hood.
Yep.
1973.
Okay.
You know the Robin Hood?
Oh, yeah. And it was Little John, yeah.
And then Tailspin. Are you familiar with that TV show from the late 80s? He's a pilot of a cargo ship.
Is that right?
A cargo plane, I mean. Yeah, he has own, it was during the Disney afternoon block of, they had like DuckTales on there, the Gummy Adventures of the Gummy Bears, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
I was 20 years old at that point, you were like six.
Yeah, but when I was in college, I was still turning on Mr. Rogers occasionally.
Okay.
Because at noon, when you're home for lunch,
right,
you've got that or Days of Our Lives,
yeah, you're not
or
gonna
local
watch...
Mankato News.
Yeah,
so...
you're going to watch Friar Tuck, or not Friar Tuck, what was King
Louis?
Yeah, what was Mr. Rogers, what was the name of the king? In the
King Friday.
King Friday, that's what it was, yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, when you're 19, maybe you shouldn't be doing that. But I am who I am. I liked it. It was either that or watching John Black and Morena on Days of Our Lives.
No.
See, I watched that for a time in middle school when I was trying to impress a girl at the local racetrack.
Right.
Think about that sentence. In seventh grade, I watched Days of Our Lives to impress a girl at the racetrack.
There's a lot to unpack there.
I know. Do we not have the time today for that? I'm a complicated man. What can I say?
Yes, you are. It's one of the things we love about you.
Man. So that was a good song. I liked it.
So from 19, what is this?
1936 originally is what I was able to track.
Okay. Well, I don't think it's that old. It doesn't sound like it, but maybe, I don't know. This is,
you would know you
were, I'm having you were issues with my, there we go. I'm having issues with my headphones here. So now I can hear. This is What Will Santa Say When He Finds Everybody Swinging on 95.1 KYMN, the Louis Prima.
Oh, la-di-da, oh, hey, hey. What is Santa Claus gonna say when he finds everybody singing?
To grandmother's house we go. The horse goes away to carry the sleigh through the white and drifting snow. Over the river and through the woods, oh, how the wind does blow. It stings the toes and bites the noses. Over the ground we go.
Over the river and through the woods, now grandmother's cap I spy. Hurrah for the fun as the pudding done. Hurrah for the pumpkin pie.
Over the river and through the woods and straight to the barnyard gate. Spring over the ground like a hunting hound, for this is Christmas Day.
Merry Christmas, hark the bells are ringing, hear the children singing. Merry Christmas,
Merry Christmas,
Merry, Merry Christmas and a glad new year.
Merry Christmas, hark the bells are ringing, hear the children singing. Merry Christmas, Merry, Merry Christmas and a glad new year.
The river and through the woods we must hurry, we mustn't be late. We seem to be going extremely slow, it is so hard to wait.
Over the river and through the woods while the wind is blow.
Hurrah for the fun is the pudding done,
for this is Christmas Day.
Merry, merry, merry Christmas, merry, merry, merry Christmas, hark, all the bells are ringing, and hear how the children are singing. Merry, merry, merry Christmas, merry, merry, merry Christmas, merry, merry Christmas, and a glad new year.
And a glad new year.
You know, we always talk about you know, Prince is from Minnesota and Bob Dylan's from Minnesota. The Andrews Sisters, just they never come up anymore, man. The Andrews Sisters, one of the most popular singing groups of post-war America, were from Minneapolis and were discovered when they performed in a singing contest at the Orpheum Theater in downtown Minneapolis on Hennepin Avenue.
To silent films.
Oh, is that That's right? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they were all born in the 1910s.
Yes.
And so I was going to ask, are you familiar with Laverne, Maxine, and Patty?
Patty, Maxine, and Laverne.
Yeah, the Andrews Sisters.
The Andrews Sisters.
And just like you said, they were at this talent contest, and Patty, the youngest, was 7.
Oh, really?
Time. And they kind of got found for that. And their father had owned a restaurant, and it failed. So they went on the road to support the family. But they did attend Franklin Junior High School and North High School in mm-hmm. Minneapolis. So, like you said, you know, probably rose to prominence during the war and after the war.
Yep.
You know, they had made a name for themselves pre-war, but obviously the war changed.
Right. Well, you're right. It wasn't necessarily post-war because the Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy of Company B was there. Like, the song pretty well.
Yeah, and that came out in 1941.
Yeah.
So that's kind of their big hit. So I love that you talked about the Minnesota tie. I mean, part of that's just time, right? Like,
right.
Prince is Prince, Bob Dylan's Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Andrew Sisters, in their own right, were a big freaking deal.
They were a big deal.
Any guess about the number of records they sold in their career?
I wouldn't have a
I'm putting you on a spot and you might look foolish.
Well,
and that should give you an indication that it's a higher number than you think.
Yeah, well, let's keep in mind that they've you know, their records are sometimes 80 years old, so they've had some time to sell.
Sure. White Christmas, number one song of all time.
Right. Because it's been around forever and ever.
Yep. There's a benefit to that.
Let's say 50 million.
80 million records.
Wow.
So, yes, the Andrews Sisters should have a little respect when you say
that. Gosh, that's right. That's fantastic.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
And by the way, Danny Kaye is also on the song that we just heard.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. By the way, there was Danny Kaye also.
But it is.
But Danny Kaye is not from Minnesota, so whatever.
But it is the Andrews Sisters with Danny Kaye on that song. So, yep. I love Danny Kaye, mostly from White Christmas, the movie, obviously. But he's done other things that he should be known for.
Right.
To me, his singing is always interesting because I just associate him so much with White Christmas and his character in that, and kind of hamming it up when he sings.
Yeah.
And every song I hear from him, he's got that cadence in his voice where I'm just waiting for him to like do something physically funny like he does in White Christmas. Right. So you listen to that song and I'm listening, I'm like, is he taking this seriously? Like, I just keep waiting for, you know, a punchline to come. But you know, he maybe not the greatest singer,
but he's affable. The thing I like about Danny Kaye, whenever I've heard him singing, he always sounds happy.
Yeah.
You know, and then he sounds super happy in that song.
That's the cadence that I'm talking about. Exactly. Yeah, but I'm waiting for something to follow up that. But no, it was just him legitimately singing.
Yeah.
And good for him.
Right, exactly.
But I love Danny Kaye.
What's not to love?
You know. He wasn't the original choice for White Christmas? He was like the third choice.
Oh, really?
The pair with Bing.
Who was the Mickey Rooney?
I know Fred Astaire was supposed to be it. Oh, sure. But yeah, he broke his leg or something.
Okay.
And then there's someone else I can't recall.
Red Skelton.
No, it wasn't Red. But anyway, Danny was like the third choice. And
interesting.
Probably end up being the right choice, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to know.
But, yeah.
It would have been interesting to have, Fred Astaire in that role.
Yeah, cause, my gosh, that would have been fantastic.
I mean, I associate him so much now to the Ted Hanover character from Holiday Inn, which was done with Bing, and he's as much of a villain as you've ever had.
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen Holiday?
I've not.
Oh my God. You should watch it.
Okay.
It's just interesting how they play the dynamics of that movie. And I won't go through the whole plot, but he's trying to steal Bing's partner, but it's like a frenemy type thing. And he's, you can justify his choices, but boy, is he a jerk for doing it. And I don't know. I mean, he's so talented and you love him and everything you see him in. So I'm glad for that reason alone, because I'm so, connected to Holiday Inn, which came out about 12 years before White Christmas. It came out in 1942 and White Christmas came out in 1954.
Yeah.
I'm glad that Bing, who I obviously adore, had someone else to play off that movie. Right. So anyway,
Danny Kaye.
Good for him.
That's great. So time now for Corey's Christmas haiku.
I'm sorry. I should have trusted you. You were on top of it that time. Tasty grub. I should start over because the is not the first syllable. Okay. Just to be clear. Tasty grub of yore. Grandma's recipes were best. Do not tell your spouse.
My grandmother made cinnamon rolls that were out of this world. Cinnamon rolls and caramel rolls that were amazing, and I haven't had one of them in 30 years because my grandmother's been dead for quite some time now.
Yeah.
And they were always the best, man.
I hear there's a place on St. Olaf Avenue that makes a decent roll.
Yeah, they're good. They can't touch my grandma's, though.
Which I think is fair.
Yeah.
Some people might be unhappy about that, but that's the whole point. Grandma's recipes were always best.
Exactly. Exactly. So...
speaking of a grandma,
there's been a theme through this season of Christmas on the Canon of, Christmas kind of getting real, right? And maybe not always just the happiest Christmas. This is a pretty backhanded, bitter song we're gonna play right here. I had not heard this before.
Not at all.
I wish I had known about this is a song by Elton John called Merry Christmas, Maggie Thatcher. And it's not it clearly was written while Mrs. Thatcher was still with us and probably was still in office. Oh, you've got some stuff on there.
I'll cut you off before you speak too
often. Yeah.
So are you familiar with at least the name of this movie or later musical Billy Elliot?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so this stems from that. So it's a 2000 movie later turned into a West End show,
yep,
which I'm sure went to Broadway at some point. Went to Broadway, or went to West End, excuse me, 2005. It's about the working class in 1980s Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, so you weren't wrong about like the time. Yeah. Obviously Maggie Thatcher's name isn't there.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, 15 some 20 years later.
Right.
But Elton John wrote it for the musical and then also released his own version. He wasn't in the show or anything like that, but it was released in 2005. But
okay,
you teed it up right. You just were 15 years early in terms of creation.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
So, no, the, but it's from the Billy Elliot musical.
The blue collar working class coal miners of England were not fans of Margaret Thatcher's at all. Yeah, she. Her economic policies were rough on a lot of people, but you know, my brother Mark Larson, huge fan of Margaret Thatcher.
Oh,
yes.
All right.
So we'll send this out to my brother from 2005. This is a bonus track on one of Elton's albums, I think, wasn't it?
I believe you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Peachtree Road. I want to say, perhaps. Do I have this right?
I was thinking Tiny Dancer. No, I was joking.
You're funny. Anyway, this is Elton with Merry Christmas, Maggie Thatcher on 95.1 KYMN, The One.
Can you hear it in the distance? Can you sense it far away? Is it old Rudolph the reindeer? Is it Santa on his sleigh? It's heading up to Easington. It's coming down the Tyne. Oh, it's bloody Maggie Thatcher. Michael Heseltine. So, Merry Christmas, Maggie Thatcher. May God's love be with you. We all sing together in one breath. Merry Christmas, Maggie Thatcher. Must be swept away to make way for call centers and lower rates of pay. So, Merry Christmas, Maggie Thatcher. May God's love be with you. We all sing together in one breath. Merry Christmas, Maggie Thatcher. We all celebrate today. This is the one day closer to your day. One day.
year's summer romance? Is this year's winter blues? I treated you so nicely to jewelry and champagne, but you left me empty-handed.
Corey, I don't know the answer to this question, so I'm going to ask you anyway. Do you know what movie that little
Christmas Vacation
is that from? Christmas? Is that really from Christmas Vacation?
Yeah, it's at the beginning.
Is it really?
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, 1989.
Interesting. Okay, well, thank you for answering that. That was All Time Low with Merry Christmas, Kiss My Ass.
So when you said I'm going to put you on the spot, I thought your question was going to be Corey. Real quick, your thoughts.
Corey, real quick, your thoughts, because we've been having a little conversation here in the studio, folks.
And my response was, well, I'm glad you like that song.
Oh, you don't like that song?
It doesn't do much for me.
Did I put that on there? Did I put the song on?
I sure did.
I have no recollection of putting
that
song.
You mess with the spreadsheet and you take away the creator of the song. Yeah. We got to fix that for next year.
I've
never heard of this song.
That must be something I discovered last year and put on the list. Yeah. And I have no recollection of it at all.
Yeah. And I've never heard that song. So
that's hilarious.
I mean, this is the second time, which is fun. It's not a big deal. But I'd like to know who put this stuff on her, because now we both have to defend it. I didn't like it, so hopefully you put it on.
I must be me, because I do like the song.
Okay, well, good. Let's go with you.
Okay, well, I'll just
claim
it. That's
why I said I'm glad you liked it.
I'll claim it.
Here's the thing.
And the thing is,
this is a somewhat parallel. I was talking to my brother-in-law yesterday, who's a big music guy, and I was like, do you remember 303? Do you remember the band 303?
Mm-hmm.
It's from like the late 2000s, kind of like a pop EDM type thing. They had a couple of songs that were radio hits. And I was reading something that made me think of them. And I was like, oh, what about LFMAO?
Yeah.
Like these bands of that ilk.
Yeah.
I put these guys right there. This came out in 2011 on their album Dirty Work. I just, that era of music for pop music, and I know these guys weren't like super big, obviously.
Right, right.
But it's just such a weird era, I think, and a lot of the music stinks.
I wasn't listening to a lot of pop music in 2000.
Nor was I for very obvious reasons. When, so, like, when I put this in that same kind of era.
Blink 182, right? I mean, who I think you can compare these guys to, or like Everclear. What was the? I mean, that was like
mid late 90s into the 2000s.
Yeah.
It depends which era. I mean,
I'm thinking with Blink 182, I'm thinking like Enema of the State.
Early 2000s. Yeah. This is quite a disservice to Blink 182. I'm not a big Blink fan. I've grown to appreciate them more as I got older.
I enjoy Blink.
But at that time, other than like their big hits that were like on TRL,
right.
I wasn't like a deep Blink 182 guy.
Right.
Now when I hear their songs, most of them, like, okay, I'm into that.
Yeah.
And maybe just I'm getting that age where I'm nostalgic.
Welcome to it, my friend.
I mean, there was music I liked at that era, and there was other music that I thought was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But now that fine music, when I hear it, I'm like, ooh, this is a jam kind of thing.
Right, right.
But even then, do you remember the movie American Pie?
Of course.
I think it's one of the greatest soundtracks ever. Now, again, I was the right age.
Yeah.
But you go back and you listen to these songs, I'm like, these are legit good songs.
I don't think I can name a single song on the American Pie soundtrack.
Sum 41's on there. My Own Worst Enemy. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good songs.
Okay.
And then even American Pie 2 had some good songs on there. Be Like That from, Three Doors Down? Yeah, Doors Down.
All right, yeah.
A lot of that, like, turn of the century there's some edge to it rock, but also like early Nickelback type boring rock. I don't like Nickelback for the record, and I'm very strong on the record for this.
Right.
I once sent a video to a coworker that was 45 minutes long from YouTube that was titled Nickelback's Greatest Hits or Best Nickelback Songs. And it was 45 minutes of silence. And she enjoyed Nickelback, and I do not. So I sent that
to her. That's hilarious.
And I still laugh about it to this day.
That's great.
Yeah. So anyway, go back and check out the American Pie soundtrack.
Okay.
Put on your list.
Time now for Corey Butler's Christmas Haiku.
Okay. Well, we're getting later in the show. So.
Yes, we are.
All right. Check out that big horn. True spirit of the season. All hail the Yule Goat.
Wow. Wow.
You thought one way.
Yeah.
And I came the
other
way.
You went a whole different way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Julebach, if you prefer. I should just come with the. Or Julebach.
Julebach. Julebach.
Or Jewel.
Okay.
Julebach.
Julebach.
But I went with the American version.
Yeah.
The good old Yule Goat. Do you have any Yule Goats in your life?
No.
We bought a couple of years ago some tiny ones off Etsy for our tree.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, like a 6-pack of like folded. I don't even know what the material is.
Yeah,
it's almost like a corn husk or something.
Okay,
I don't know what the real material.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, I know what you're
talking
about.
So they're really cute. They're folded and they're nice, and we hang them. And we add an ornament every year. And then last year we did. I was thinking what was the thing you're talking about that you have in your house?
Yeah.
And they're not. It's not like the winter gnomes or trolls,
right?
It's not the same thing, right? Where their hat's pulled down and the big nose.
That's what exactly. It's a troll.
It's a troll, but the traditional. I don't know if traditional is the right word. The ones that show up in nice little shops like you'd see in Northfield are like prettier versions of what you probably have, right?
This thing is not pretty at all.
Yeah. So we bought some of those last year. So we're trying to like diversify our tree. We haven't made it quite yet to the German Christmas pickle, but that's coming up at some point. I think because, as I shared last week with my tree falling over, I was trying to find a Christmas ornament where you had a tree sideways or upside down as a reminder of the year that after dad put the tree up, it fell down.
Yeah.
So I haven't had any success finding
that's
that
outstanding. It's very Chevy Chase-like.
Yes.
You know what happened last week?
What's that?
We set up a song that we're about to play right now.
Oh, yes. Senator Mike Perry.
Oh.
So you've waited 7 days and 90 minutes to hear that tease pay off. quick reminder, if you didn't listen to the last show or the show before where I originally brought it up, went to an event in Owatonna years ago. Former Senator Mike Perry of Owatonna, I think he was a one-term senator, was the MC. It was a dancing competition. That's not important. He went to go announce the musician or the song for this couple that was going to dance for this fundraiser. And he said, whatever song by Michael Bubble. And the entire auditorium, knowing that he was incorrect, laughed hysterically for minutes because of how ridiculous it sounded. Michael Bubble.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. Is Mr. Bublé everyone's flavor even 8 years ago?
Probably.
No, but he's a big enough name.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or if you don't know, go ask somebody.
Or you well, but that's, you're just making the assumption and like you're not even second guessing it. That's
no. Sometimes, or you didn't even, or maybe you can relate and I can relate. You didn't do any prep work. Yeah, you just show up and read it.
Exactly.
Like,
you just read it and went, whoa, I don't know how, we'll go with bubble.
Yeah, but sometimes those little marks above letters mean something.
Yes, they do.
Also, have you ever met someone with the name Bubble? That might have been where I paused.
Well, I mean, in his defense, have you ever met anyone with the last name Bublé?
No, but it sounds more legitimate.
It sounds way more last name than Bubble does. Yes. But
so, anyhow.
All right. Anyway.
You must like Mr. Bubble Bublé.
I like him. I enjoy Michael Bublé. And I enjoy saying Michael Bublé. Bublé. It's a lovely name. It's a fun name. This is a song called Cold December Night from his one Christmas album that came out in
2011. Which is a very popular album. I mean, I think it's in the top five of Christmas albums all time.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
Sales-wise.
Yeah, well, it ought to be. I don't know that it's in the top five, but it's pretty good.
No, I think legitimately. Like he's not, made money. Like,
he's made
sales,
a career out of
in
it.
In terms of sales.
The only time, but I'm thinking my personal top five.
Yeah.
The only time I ever really hear Michael Bublé is at Christmas time. I mean, he's the 21st century king of Christmas in my mind.
But in his credit, he's got some other decent songs that have made it. I mean, there was that traditional style, the crooner style, and then he tried to go more pop, and he had a couple songs that charted and did okay.
Right.
Like, I'm not a great Mr. Bublé mind, but I've heard some of those charting songs, and they're fine.
Yeah, sure. You know,
I think Everything or Everyone was one of them.
Okay.
I don't know, but they're fine.
Right. You know, whatever.
But there's worse things to be than the King of Christmas for the 21st century.
No question.
Like, he used to have the annual Christmas specials, and we talked about that I think last year, and I'm sad that they're not around anymore, because they were actually done fairly well and leaned into kind of the 20th century approach, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. 50s and 60s and 70s, whereas a lot of the more recent ones are just glitz and glamour, and just they seem inauthentic, and like Mariah Carey had one last year. I'm like, ugh,
please,
it wasn't great,
just don't.
But he stopped doing that after his son got sick, so I was hoping after his son obviously did, you know, get healthier and
recovered,
right. That's the word, thank you, that maybe he'd go back to Christmas, because it seemed like a good place for him to be.
Right
No, not yet.
Well,
so,
you know, there's still time. He's still a young man, youngish, so younger than me at least. This is the incredibly fun to say Michael Bublé with Cold December Night on 95.1 KYM.
Stockings are hung with care, the children sleep with one eye open. Well, now there's more than toys at stake, 'cause I'm older now, but not done hoping. The twinkling of the lights, the Santa carols fill the household. Old Saint Nick has taken flight with a heart on board, so please be careful. I asked for many different things, but now I know what my heart wants you to bring. So please just fall in love with me this Christmas. There's nothing else that I will need this Christmas. I won't be wrapped under a tree, I want something to last forever. Kiss me on this cold December night. A cheer that smells of pine, a house that's filled with joy and laughter. The mistletoe says stand in line, loneliness is what I've captured. Oh, but this evening can be a holy night. It's cozy on up by the fireplace and dim those Christmas lights. So please just fall in love with me this Christmas. There's nothing else that you will need this Christmas. I won't be wrapped under a tree, I want something to last forever. So kiss me on this cold December night. I'm here
I'm yours for the taking. They call it the season of giving. I'm here, I'm yours. Just fall in love with me this Christmas. Nothing else that we will need this Christmas. Won't be wrapped under a tree. I won't stay the last for last forever. Cause I don't wanna be alone tonight. I wear like a Christmas sweater. Walk proudly to the mistletoe tonight. I won't stay the last for last forever. Me on this cold December night. They call it season of giving. I'm here, yours for the taking. They call it season of giving. I'm here, I'm yours.
Yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on. And have
from the very best Christmas album that I've ever heard, my favorite. That was from the very Special Christmas, Volume 1, 1987. That was Pretenders with Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Volume 1. We must make sure that's very clear, yeah, because Volume 2, not so great.
It doesn't come close, and like all the rest of them, just don't hit the mark. The first one was amazing.
I always forget that there were more than two.
Yeah, there's a whole series that went on for at least 15 years.
So was this like Now That's Music before Now That's Music was
a thing? Little bit. I mean, this whole thing, A Very Special Christmas, was put together to benefit Special Olympics.
Sure.
And so there were for a number of years. I don't know, but it did peter out eventually because every other one after the first one sucked.
You think that was just a lack of effort, or they thought, well, it doesn't matter what we put together because people are going to buy it anyway, because that's how people are. They, A, like to buy compilations, but B, want to be supportive of such efforts. Or you just think the music changed, the people who were interested?
I'm pretty sure it's a confluence of all those things.
Okay. Yeah. I'm glad I hit all those things that you'd want to confluence together.
Right, exactly. But I just, you know, whatever. I like the first one. I listen to it a lot. This time of year.
Time and place,
just,
right?
Just love Chrissy Hynde's version of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Time and place. You were at the right age at the right time when that came out.
I was a freshman at St. Olaf College, and it worked.
Reading the LB...
The LBW.
LBW.
Green Book.
The Green Book.
The Lutheran Book of Worship.
There you go, worship. That's the one I always forget about, worshiping. Well, that was a version that I had been familiar with, and then you brought it 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, it's fine, because I'm a traditionalist.
Yeah.
Time and place, because, you know, when those songs came out in the 40s and 50s when I was a young lad, you know, being a traditionalist, that just hit me at the right time, right place.
Right. Right.
No, it's a version that's grown on me the last couple of years. I mean, obviously, I lean more toward Frank and Bing and whatever, but I like that version, and I like it more every time I hear it.
Good.
So I won't thank you in the same way I thanked you for Christmas for Cowboys or Cab Mo.
Right.
But thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
All the same.
You're welcome. You've done a whole lot of that for me, too.
Hey, that's what this show is about, broadening our horizons for ourselves, for others.
Right.
And hopefully you, the listener, have benefited from this show over the years. And
we hope so. And we hope the last 4 weeks have been, you know, at least moderately enjoyable for you.
And if it wasn't, we don't want to hear from you. Keep it to yourself.
Rich at KYMNradio.net.
Yes.
Yeah, there it is.
All right. Should we go out on a strong note here with our last haiku?
Time now for the Corey Butler Christmas haiku.
White Christmas or not, surround yourself with your needs. Be well this season.
Yeah. Be well this season.
Be well this season. Take care of yourself.
You know what? Or as, you know, like Laura Myers always says to the rest of the staff at Eminent Brewing, take care of yourself and each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know.
It's a good way to go about things.
It is. It is. And this time, this year especially, you know, last year was crazy. This year is still not so great. So be well. Take care of yourself.
Yeah. My wife and I have been talking about this concept of motherwhelm. Are you familiar with this?
No.
This was a Facebook thing that was floating around. I'm not a Facebooker, as you know, but
This
idea of expectations for the holidays, particularly for those who are mothers, and, you know, the cooking and the cleaning and the presents and all those things. And a totally legitimate concern. But we were having an honest discussion about what that meant for her and how I could assist in different ways or lessen that motherwhelm. And I bring this up because I think this time in particular, and we talked about this probably on every show, but I think more so this show and the last show, about expectations and that Christmas must be this, that, and the other thing.
Right, right.
Otherwise, we failed ourselves because it's this magical time. And again, you and I like to embrace the magic of it.
Absolutely.
In certain ways, because it brings forth certain feelings that we want to embrace.
Exactly.
It makes us feel good. And that's not for everybody.
No.
And we've talked about the authenticity, right?
Yeah,
Everyone takes this in differently. And regardless, if you want to, you know, be the happiest guy since Danny, Mr. K from the Christmas Vacation movie, or you want to be a Scrooge, it doesn't matter. Point is, it's important to be selfish sometimes.
Yeah.
And take care of yourself.
Take care of yourself. I use this analogy all the time in a lot of different ways, but it's the mask drops from mm-hmm. the ceiling at the yeah. airplane. Put your mask on before you put yeah. your kid's mask on. And yep. that's, take care of yourself first. If you really, really, really feel the need to take care of everybody else, then take care of yourself first so you can do that.
And it doesn't have to be like a deep psychological thing. It could just be serving dinner.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's okay to cut in line and take care of yourself first. Yeah,
it is.
And this is a year-round message, but I think this time in particular, as we know, some people can, whether they have people around them or not, can get themselves pretty down. So yeah. take yeah. care of yourself. Be well.
Yeah. And, Merry Christmas. How's that?
Very good. Well, we got one last song to send you out on.
We do. And again, there's been just this like dearth of Bing Crosby this year. We played one Bing song so far, I think, and that was with David Bowie.
Oh, that's correct. Yeah, 2 weeks ago we had the lovely duet. Yeah.
Yes, the Little Drummer Boy, Peace on Earth.
Yes, which is actually quite lovely.
It is.
I like it quite a bit. But yeah, this is the classic.
This is it. This is as far as you're concerned. This is as good as it gets.
I think I'm gonna go home and watch this movie now too.
Good.
I'll save all the details. You Google if you want. There's lots of good things about this song, its popularity, its history. Irving Berlin, who wrote it, you should mm-hmm. read up about him if you haven't. He's prolific and for good reasons.
He's one of the great American songwriters of all time.
I would agree. One thing I'll say is, and I think I've mentioned this a couple times, it's interesting. A lot of these classic songs are being reimagined on YouTube right now
yeah.
with new videos, and a lot of them are animated. Either straight traditional yeah. animation. Yep. Yep. Some are doing stop motion,
yep.
Which I find fascinating. So Nat King Cole's YouTube channel is doing this.
Yeah.
Frank Sinatra's YouTube channel is yeah. doing this. Bing Crosby's YouTube channel is doing this. I guess once your like other videos have 500 million views, you got to create a second one to pump up some of those new numbers. I don't know. It's new content, and it's good for sure. people to see it. And it probably is a way to introduce it to a new audience as well.
And it's good work for animators.
Oh, well, there's that too. Yeah. So, but I think it's probably a good way to introduce maybe some of those classics to a newer audience.
Yeah.
And they could be 40, they could be 12. I don't right. know. But visuals are a good way to tie people into music sometimes as well.
What did I just say? I just saw one, and I can't remember what it was.
Sia had one for Snowman.
That might have been it.
Yeah.
It was the black and white, and yeah. it looked like a little bit of the stop motion thing.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
That's what it was. Yeah.
And Christmas Valentine. We had on a few weeks ago with Ingrid Michaelson, Jason Mraz, another stop motion
oh, really?
Animated one. So
I haven't seen that one.
I mean, I don't know if that's, I mean, obviously heavily Rankin. Oh, we got a Rankin Bass reference yeah. influence from that. But I think it's cool to see.
Yeah.
I mean, and good for them for, like you said, and giving animators work. Love
Speaking
that.
Of Rankin Bass, you're talking about Fred Astaire and you're going to go home and watch White Christmas. I am probably going to go home and watch Santa Claus is Coming to Town, which I love.
That's perfect. So when we went to the Dakota City Village 2 weeks ago
mm-hmm.
to see the traditional 1900
yeah.
buildings, usually they have like a very traditional Santa with the old garb, and he's like an older, kind of like not a heavy set man, but middle set. Mm-hmm. Man. I don't know how to best mm-hmm. describe it, but he's not like the Coca-Cola Santa.
Right.
But he looks great. He's got the nice beard. Anyway, the Santa they had this year, I don't know if that guy just was off that day. It was like a younger guy with like a red beard.
Really?
It reminded me
Kris
of
Kris Kringle.
Yeah. From 1970s. Yeah. Santa Claus is Coming to Town. And yeah. I said, well, it works for me. I'm sure. Some people are going to look at this guy like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
He's got a red beard.
That's fascinating that yeah. they made that choice.
And I didn't go in and ask him like, hey, what's going on with this?
Right.
But I am kind of curious, but I was fine with it. Like, again, I think it was, it might have been last week's show. Yeah. It was last week's show with the Santa haiku.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a different iteration.
Yeah.
Be who you want.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Mr. Butler, this has been fun.
Love it.
I love hanging out with you Christmas time, man.
Let's do it again next year.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. So from 1932.
Well, there's the definitive one would be later than that. 1942 okay. is
1942.
That, well, actually, no, I take that back. First performed 1941 on NBC Radio. 1942 in the movie Holiday Inn
mm-hmm.
was kind of the first big splash of it.
Right.
This, I'm not sure which version we have now that I think about.
This is the one that you always ask for. This
I
is
know,
one with
and I
Darby.
Forget which one it was because he recorded it several times. It's probably from the 50s.
Okay.
Would be my guess.
All right. I've just got it down as White Christmas. So
yeah. I mean, I probably once had a year with my notes, but no longer do.
Yeah, well.
But this is the definitive version.
All right. And it's the Great Christmas Song. So to all of you, thank you for listening. You got anything you want to say to our six listeners?
Merry Christmas. Be safe. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas, everybody. And we will, Corey and I will be back sometime in 2022 with some other sort of holiday on the canon type of show. Until then, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. We love everybody out there. And yeah, peace.
Of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, may your day merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas,
Christmases be white.